Okay, so we're on top of. So yesterday we got to the
No,
end
you
of
have to
the.
dedicate today's daf to my two uncles with the same
Oh,
yard
I'm so
sign.
sorry. Forgive me. I have it here. Just 1 minute. Let me get it.
It's
Thank you
okay.
for
I can
reminding
give
me.
it to you again.
I have it. So tonight's Daf Yomi is sponsored by Fern and Marvin Resmovitz on the occasion of the yahrzeit of Fern's two uncles, Yaakov Tzvi ben Tuvia Isaac and Zeligarye ben Tuvia Isaac. They're both brothers, but they both have the same yahrzeit.
Isn't that something?
They didn't die the same year, but they have both the same yahrzeit, right? Okay. Anyway, so let's see back in the Gemara. So we're on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph on page 39. So yesterday we got through the incident with Choni Ma'agel, not Choni, yeah, with Nachimon ben Gurion, right? With Nachimon Gurion, there's a different incident that he contributed water for the Ole Regalim. There was no water, and so he sort of borrowed the essence of 12 cisterns from a certain nobleman, and he had to give back the water by a certain date or pay back a load of money, and then it looked like it was heading towards disaster. And then he went and he prayed, and Hashem caused a lot of rain. And then the nobleman said he had rain, but it's too late. It's past the deadline, so he still owed me the money. And then he went back and prayed, and Hashem caused the sun to shine through. The way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying is the time had indeed passed, and then nevertheless Hashem caused the sun to shine through, and that was not. So we're up to the first wide line of Chaf Amud Aleph. So he says, Tana lo Nachdimon shmo ela Buni shmo. So his name wasn't really Nachdimon, his name was Buni. Why is he called Nachdimon? We have Nick the Raw, but in the Ghost of Bach, he says either Shenichdama or any word Shenichdara is what we have. A Shenichdara kama ba'bro. So if Nichdara means the sun. Like the sun's pierced through. In other words, the sun shone for him. If it's Nikdama, so it's related to the next Gemara. It says that the sun was a little bit more east of where it would normally be. In other words, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, so it should be like below the horizon, and it moved back a little bit more easterly for him. Okay, so Tan Rabbanan, we're on the second wide line for the people who just joined on Chaf Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha, Nikdama Lehem Chama Ba'avron. There were three people. That the sun, like shone or like went a little bit more easterly for them. He says, Moshe, Yehoshua, Menachem, Ben Gurion. Now, and I listened also to a large part of Rabbi Leibowitz here today, but I also looked at the Masechta Gemara. He said there were other people who also had this. They said Chizkiyahu HaMelech was also one, and who else had it? He says, but these are the ones that the Gemara mentioned. So the Gemara says, Nachman Gurion Gemara. So in Nachman Gurion, we have a tradition, and the way Rashi has it, he says, Kid the Hada Amram, third white line in Rashi. I think Rashi here so makes a little more sense. Like we went through what's going on with that. Yoshua Nami Fra, the Chiva Yidoma Shemesh, Begomer. So there's an incident in Sefer Yoshua, if you remember, with the Givonim. The Givonim were people in Israel. They disguised themselves and made a treaty with the Jewish people. And then once they had the treaty, so Yoshua felt bound to the treaty. And then Givon was attacked by a number of the non-Jewish, kings of the cities. And then they called the Jews to help them. And then Yoshua was attacking the Amori that attacked them. And then he wanted to complete the battle. And he says, but you don't have Shemesh v'Yireh Chama. In other words, Yoshua says, Shemesh v'Givon Dom, v'Yireh Chayim v'Kayalon. I want the sun to stand still. I want to have time to fight it. So it says, but you don't have Shemesh v'Yireh Chama. So the sun stood still and moon stood still. So that's the other incident. Elamosh Menalem, where do we see that anything happened like this with Moshe? So he says, and again, also the other person was Yaakov. Yaakov also had with the sun. By the sun didn't set when he was there, and then also. So he says, "Elamosh." So Amr Blazer Atya Afelachel. So Blazer says, "We'll have a Xerishava." As you know, Xerishava's got two words, same or similar in two different places. We're going to learn one place from another place, he says, so it says in Parshat Devarim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll begin. And it was in Parshat Devarim, it's a review of everything that took place in the Midbar. But he's saying, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to begin to instill your fear on the non-Jewish people in Eretz Israel. And it says the same for Yeshua, Achel Gadelpa. I'm going to begin exalting you, Yehoshua, in the eyes of the people. So the idea is, this is Achel in two places. Now, one pasuk is obviously in Chumash, and one is in the Nebiim, so it's not normally. What's wrong? What's wrong?
Malka's trying to get in.
Okay, so okay, let me thank you. One second, let me. Okay. Okay, welcome, Malka. Okay, so we're on the sixth wide line. Thank you very much, Fern. Okay, the sixth wide line on Tachmid Aleph. So normally we can't have Gzeirah Shava from a Chumash, a Pasuk and Chumash and Pasuk and Nevi'im, but I would say it's just like sort of intimate that this is the Pshat in the Pasuk. He says, so it says, Achel, Achel. And Rashi brings down, where does Rashi say it? Rashi says in the third narrow line, which is, the Rem is the Dibur Doma Lachavero. In other words, it was one Pasuk is clear, another was not so Pasuk is so clear. So we're going to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu had we're going to learn that Moshe Rabbeinu had the same miracle. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Akid Tei. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says it's a Gzeirah Shava and uses the same Pasuk in Chumash, Achel Tei, but instead of focusing on the word Achel, he focused on the word Tei. Yivach Achel Tei, Pachtecha, Uchivatam, Yom Teit Hashem and HaEmorit. So that pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, that's more in that's in the incident where, you know, he says the sun should stand still. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, I can be good for the crowd. Rabbi Yochanan says we can learn it from the pasuk itself. It says, in other words, by Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have to refer to other pasukim. We can just look at the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll be able to see that this took place. It says, Asher Yishmu Shemacha Ragzu B'Chamuli Panecha. That the nations will hear your renown, and they'll tremble and fear from you. So, Emathai Ragzu B'Chavuli Panecha, when did they, you know, like tremble and fear from you? B'Shash Nitim Alochama Moshe, when the sun like shone for Moshe Rabbeinu, or you know, was a little more easterly. So it's hard to understand how we see in the pasuk that the sun shone for Moshe Rabbeinu. So one shot is earlier in the pasuk. It says, it's in the same pasuk. He says, "Ayom azachel teipach tachav yircha." You know, al pnei hamim tachat kol hashemayim. I'm going to instill your fear with the nations tachat kol hashemayim underneath the heavens. Asher yishmuun shemachav ragzu b'chavuni panecha. So one shot is to say that if it's something that everybody under the face of under the sky hears about, it's likely that it'll be something about the Shemesh. Or the other shot, which the Masechta Gemara mentioned, and this Rabbi Leibowitz also mentioned from the Ben Yehoyada, it says Ragzu b'chalu mipanecha. So there's a Gemara that says in Baba Batra, it says Pnei Moshe Pnei Chama Pnei Moshe Pnei Levana. It says in Parshat Matot, it says, "V'natata mehod pa'alav." You'll give from your glory unto Moshe Rabbeinu. So Chazal teaches us, "Mehod pa'alav, lo hod pa'alav," from your glory, but not all glory. So Chazal teaches us, "This kingdom that generation said, Pnei Moshe, Pnei Chama." We're around the eighth very wide line on Chaf Amud Aleph 28. So they said that the face of Moshe is like the Chama. And Pnei Moshe Pnei Levana. So the Ben Yehoyada wants to say, he says, "Ragzu b'chalu mipanecha," is alluding to the fact that Pnei Moshe Pnei Chama, and that's the Chama Chama. In other words, we're alluding to something with the sun, but it's not such a simple, limud. Okay, who's the question comes to us?
Pnei Yehoshua Pnei Levana, right?
Right. Okay. Any other questions, comes to thoughts? Everybody good? No, so it seems like it was the whole world. That's what it seems. Okay, all right. Let's get back in the Gemara. Okay, so then we're around the 10th wide line of Chaf Amud Aleph between the two dots. So we said in the Gemara in the Mishnah that there are certain calamities that happen. The Gshamim, we're building up to the Gshamim, then we get the whole full fledged fast. But certain calamities, we go straight to the top and we're fasting and we're saying, "Aneinu," we're blowing shofarot. So one of those instantaneous calamities, so to speak, is if rain falls on one city and doesn't fall on another city, so the city it doesn't fall on, that's a siman. In other words, if in other words, like the Gemara takes it, if it's raining in Port Washington, not raining in Great Neck, that's a siman that Great Neck has, you know, some aveira involved, so they would have a fast right away. So the Gemara initially quoted a pasuk, and the pasuk was from Sefer Amos. It said, "In Tartiel Yerachat, I Hashem will cause rain to come on one city, Yerachat Loam Tira, and then on another city not have rain. Chalkachat Timatir, we're going one part will have rain and not one not." So back in the Gemara, so can you still do the Chamukule? Excuse me. So Amar Yehuda Marav, Ushtein Leklala. So Rav Yehuda says in the Rav that in the Pasuk in Amos, when it says one city's going to have rain, one city's not going to have rain, they're both a klala. In other words, a city that doesn't have rain, that's obviously a klala. But even the city that's going to have rain, it's going to have too much rain, and that's a klala as well. So that's the way he darshens the Pasuk in Amos. All right? No. I'm sorry. All right, let's see that. So now the Gemara says, now the Gemara having brought, now, so that was something that seemed like a bracha, that was really a klala. One city has rain, the Gemara says it's really a klala. So now the Gemara brings other psukim where it sounds like the pasuk is giving a klala, but it's really a bracha, okay? So it says, Hayta Yerushalayim Lenida Beinehem. There's a pasuk in Eicha. Obviously, we say Eicha and Tishba. It says Yerushalayim was like a Nida, a woman who's a Nida, Beinehem. In other words, Nida is like Tamea, and she's, you know, separated from people. So Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, the bracha, Kinida. In other words, it says Yerushalayim is going to be Lenida Beinehem. She's going to be like a Nida. Not Nida Yeshla Heter. Just like a Nida, she's Tamea right now, but then she'll go to a state of Tahara. Is Af Yerushalayim Yeshla Takana. So too, everything's not lost with Yerushalayim. So it's sort of like a double-edged sword. In other words, Yerushalayim is like a Nida right now, but in that statement, there's an essence, a bracha. So like a Nida doesn't remain a permanently a Nida. She gets out of it. And then another pasuk in Eicha says, Haita, okay, one time. Says, I'll pause in just a few lines and hold off till then, okay? So Haita ka almana, again, it says that Yerushalayim was like an almana, like a widow. Amar of Yehuda lebracha. So he says like a bracha, ki almana below almana much, like an almana, but not actually an almana. In other words, it's like an almana mechayim. Sometimes the husband is off, you know, in Yerem's belt all the time, so she's like an almana, she's not actually an almana. That's the level of Yerushalayim, that right now it's in a bad state, and then hopefully things will improve in the future. All right? Now, if you look at Rashi, the Rashi is around the 20th narrow line from the top. Lo amana gemura, the lo ktiv amana, el haita ki amana, ki shal mena ba amanut chayot abala, kilach ba tidlatzor. Like her husband went away, and we know that, you know, okay, just one minute for an exaction. There's a common, you know, sort of metaphor in Chazal that Kaddish Baruch was like the husband, and Klal Yisrael was like the wife. So it was like Kaddish Baruch was like sort of, Kivyako like left us now because we're doing a big aver, not that he leaves us, but you know, not in a good situation. But the implication is he'll come back. Okay, which one, Fern? What's up?
It's just interesting, and I wonder why the second quote, Haitaka Almanat, is the first pasuk of Eicha, and he quoted right. It second. Why would he?
Yeah, so I saw Mefarshim asked that question, Fern, and the way I think I remember reading is that. It's the Amar Yehuda Rav Shtein Tzvachim Lenida Beinehem. All right, yeah, I'm not sure of the answer, but I did see the question. I did see the question. All right. Now,
I also mentioned that Nida does not necessarily come out of the state unless it's a Nida.
Right.
So your Nida, you would only come out of it.
Through your own efforts, you mean, like that, or what do you mean?
Whatever your analogy.
Okay, now, another pasuk, also similar, but like the pasuk seems like it's negative, but it's really like positive. This pasuk is in Malachi. He says, "V'gama," that's the last of the Nevi'im. "V'gama nina tati etchem divzim u'shvalim." I have given you over to be like despised and lowly. In other words, among the nations of the world. In other words, Malachi is saying that I have caused you Jews to be despised and lowly in so many aveirot. So I'm Rav Yehuda the Bracha. Rav Yehuda says that that pasuk is really a bracha. That they, the non-Jews, don't appoint us the like the Reishei Nare is the chief of the river, means like the customs official, or a policeman. In other words, those people are very, you know, detestable, or people are, you know, would hate them or whatever, and they would take a lot of time doing it. But so now we don't have these horrible jobs, and because, in other words, like the kings of the Gentile nations, they see that we're despised, so they want to appoint us the customs official, because people don't like the customs officials to begin with, and then the policemen, they don't like them to begin with. So they leave the Jews out of it. So now we have more time to study Torah. Now, this is a pasuk in Malachim with Achiah Shiloni. This is where, if you remember, that Yeravam ben Nebat was the first king of Ephraim, of the 10 northern tribes, and he had been anointed by Achiah Shiloni, and then he went off to Derech, and he had Avodah Zarah. Anyway, so the Navi describes that Yeravam's son becomes very ill, and Yeravam, even though he had been involved with all this Avodah Zarah, he sends his wife to go to Achiah Shiloni to find out whether the son will recover or not. He tells the wife to go disguise herself. So Achiah Shiloni knows that it's the wife of Yeravam, and he says to her, you know, this is bad news. Hashem is going to bring big disaster on you and on this whole situation. He says, "V'hikah Hashem Yisrael." Hashem is going to strike Yisrael, like the 10 northern tribes. Like the reed, like sort of blows in the water. In other words, you're not going to be able to stand up for it. So I'm Rav Yehuda Marav with a bracha. So Rav Yehuda said, even though the pasuk sounds like it's bad, but there's really a bracha in that pasuk. So I'm Rav Shum Bar Nachmani, I'm Rav Yonatan. My detiv ne'emanim could say, oh, hey, what does it mean? Like the wounds of a lover are really true. It means like when the lover strikes you with the wound, but he intends like for your better situation. Even though he's striking you, he intends it to be for the good. Then tarot neshikot sonei. And it means the way Rashi did it, more than one shot, but the tarot, the opposite are the kisses of the enemy. In other words, the enemy, in other words, the outward act seems like one is hitting you and one is kissing you. And the one hitting you seems like that's a bad act. One kissing seems like a good act. But really, underneath it all, the wounds of the hitting of the lover is really meant for your betterment. And the kisses of the enemy are really meant for your detriment. He says, Tovat Chala Tekilel Achiah Shiloni Yisrael, that it was better, the curse that Achiah Shiloni is the Navi that we just spoke about, that he cursed Yisrael, the Pasuk about the reed. You'll hear me, Bracha Shabir Khan Dilama Rasha. Better, that Chala was better than the bracha, the blessing that was offered by Bilam Rasha. Achiah Shiloni Kilan B'Kaneh. Achiah Shiloni, he cursed Klal Yisrael with the reed. That's the metaphor, the reed. Amar Lehem Yisrael, he said to the Jewish people, the first white line downstairs, V'hikah Hashem Yisrael Kashri Yonod HaKaneh, that Hashem will strike Yisrael like the Kaneh moves, like the reed moves. Ma Kaneh Zel Meid V'makomayim, just like the reed, it's typically in the water, like near the water, obviously, because Zomachalif, it regenerates. In other words, like the trunk regenerates, and you rip the reed off, it grows back. It's like weeds, which are Shamarubin, has a lot of roots. And even if all the winds in the world blow the reed, it doesn't dislodge the reed. And the reeds last through the storm very well. It blows, in other words, it goes with the flow. In other words, the wind, so it bends with the wind, and then if the wind blows one way, it bends that way. If it bends the other way, the other way. And then when the wind stops, then the reed, at the end of the day, is in the regular place that it was. So when it's windy, it's not so good, but then when the weather, you know, quiets down, it's in good shape. So that's what he's saying about Klal Yisrael. In other words, like, you're going to be hit, like the storm, you know, hits the reed and going to be bent down, but the implication is when the storm ends, you'll be back and you'll be in good shape. That's the klala of Achiah Shiloni. About Bilam Rasha, his ostensible bracha, Yirchan Be'erez, he blesses Klal Yisrael with the cedar tree. Shneamar ka'arazim aleimayim. Now, aleimayim is in parentheses, and it seems like Rashi doesn't seem like he had it. He says, doesn't seem like Tosfos had it either here. He says, but Bilam says that the Jewish people are like arazim, like cedars. Aleimayim means on the water. Now, Rashi points out that the word aleimayim was not actually said by Bilam. Hey, what happened here? Okay, it wasn't said by Bilam. It's that Bilam said to Arazim, and Lamalach said Aleimayim. It says, whereas the cedar tree doesn't typically grow near water. The ink is omakli. Its trunk doesn't regenerate. You chop down the cedar tree, it's chopped down. The ink shorsha merubin, it doesn't have a lot of roots. It means like if you have a typical wind, it won't blow away the cedar tree. But if a very strong wind, the ruach deromid is a very strong wind, if that comes along, it uproots the tree. So let me pause for a second. So he's saying, so Bilam said the Jews are like an erez, like a cedar tree. So it sounds like it's a bracha, but it's really a klala. And the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, the four winds represent like the four malchiyot. You know, Daniel, he's with us. With the more four malchiyot that are going to rule over the Jewish people and the Ruach of Daniel. So it's saying that Bilam is saying that the Ruach of Jerome, he said, represents Edom. So when Edom comes, like his ostensible bracha, he'll be like the Erez. But the Erez, just a minute, wait 3 minutes and then I'll pause. Okay. That the Erez, though, is vulnerable to the Ruach of Jerome. So the bracha is really a klala. His bracha is not such a good bracha. He says, below Ode, Ella. In addition to which, the reed, which is what was in the klala from Achia Shiloni, it's zoche that to be a kulmos, to be the quill, to write a sefer Torah Nevi'im and Ketuvim. Meaning that the Jews, that even though they're in galus and they're suffering from all the oppression, they'll be able to study Torah. In other words, because they'll be like the reed, and they'll be able to study Torah. And that's so the klala of Achia Shiloni was really a bracha. And the bracha of Bilam was really a klala. Okay, which one was up? You want to say something? Anybody want to say anything? So, no. Edom is what Chazal identified with Rome. But Edom, if you look at the map of Eretz Yisrael, where the place where Seir and Edom was, that's in the south. That was in the south. But that's the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that the south represents Edom. Okay, well, any other questions? Okay, let's move on. Now, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So this is a famous Gemara now. Three lines from the bottom. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Yolam Yehidam Rach Kitana. A person should be soft, flexible like the reed. Vayeh Kashkaris shouldn't be tough like the Erez. So the way it comes out, tough means like arrogant, like the cedar. He says, Ma'asa Sheba, Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, Migdal Gedor, Mibet Rabo. It was interesting, Reb Lazar Reb Shimon came from Migdal Gedor, Mibet Rabo, from his Rebbe's house, whatever. So now, it was Reb Lazar Reb Shimon that would be the son of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. There's another Girsa that has, and he quotes it from Avot Rebbe Natan, it says, Reb Shimon Ben Elazar would be something totally different. And Migdal Gedor, I saw like a, this is something in the Mishnah Gemara that's not mentioned elsewhere in Shas, but he says, he was riding a donkey. Now, in another Girsa, it says, Metail on the spot of the Yam. If it's the spot of the Yam, it would be the Sea of Galilee. But the point is, Rashi says, L'smolach. In other words, he's in a fantastic mood. He's like, you know, having like a carefree day. He says, V'sameach simcha gedola, v'ayta'adato gasalva. He felt very proud. He acquired a lot of Torah. So he's feeling very proud, pride. So on Chafam Beis 20b, the top line. 20b, the top line. Everybody think? Okay. His domain lo adam echad, shemachur bioter. So he encounters one man who is very particularly ugly. Now let's look at Rashi, the top line in Rashi. His domain lo adam, yesh tfarm shubahena Eliyahu zachur lato, v'hunit kabe lo chicho shalir gil badabar. So some Sfarim Rashi points out that this person was Eliyahu HaNavi who had taken the form of a particularly ugly person. And if you look at Tosfos, it also says the same thing. So he says, so Nizamin Lo Damachat Shemachur Biyoter, back in the Gemara, Amar lo Shlomo Lecha Rebbe. So he said, Shlomo Lecha Rebbe, he greets Reb Lazar Reb Shimon. Below Hechzir lo. Reb Lazar Reb Shimon didn't respond to him. Now, when he didn't respond to him, one point is that it's not Derech Eretz, it's like the person to just go up to the Rebbe and say, Shlomo Lecha Rebbe. That's what I saw, and it had something like that in the Sifta Gemara. But also, he was Mechuar, he thought like he didn't have the light of Torah shining in him. So he says, Amar lo Reka Kamechuar Oto Ha'ish. He says, you're so ugly. Shemekho B'nei Yir Kamechuar Ring Kamocha. So Amar lo Eini Odeya. He says, Eini Odeya, and that's the theme that he does have learning. Like when a person says Eini Odeya, he says, I don't know. He says, go tell the craftsman that created me how disgusting the vessel is you've created. So once he said that, the Rajmarshim realized that he had really spoken incorrectly. He descended from the donkey. He bowed before him. I didn't speak correctly. He said, I really misspoke. This is Macholi. Forgive me. Amar lo eini mochel lecha shteich l'uman shasani. I'm not forgiving you till you go to the uman that made me. He says, ve'amor lo kamuch warak lizeh shasita. This is similar. I think it was in this masechta we had. Didn't we have?
We had another story with the woman telling the guy how ugly.
Yeah, with the daughter of the Kesar. The daughter of the Kesar is the daughter and Rabbi Yeshua, yes. Right? Yeah, and that's what she says. Let me see that. I meant to look up this Gemara earlier today. But right, it's more here.
Today he could have worn a mask.
Yeah, 1 second. All right, you know what daf that's on with the Kesar?
I would say it was about a week and a half ago.
I think it's around daf Zion or so. 1 second, let me take a look. Give me 1 minute. 1 second. All right, but anyway, that's the same thing with Rabbi Yeshua. And the daughter of the Kesar, and with the wine, and here I think I have it. He says, 1 second. Oh, boy. All right, anyway.
But how kavadik was it for him to not answer, even if the Eliyahu person approached him in a way that he should not
have? Yeah. You mean that he was acting properly or improperly?
And when he ignored him, he was acting improperly, even though he was addressed in too casual a manner.
That's what I saw in one of the Farshim, the recording of Sifta Gemara, it's not proper Derech Eretz.
How do you tell a guy in the beginning anyway that he's so ugly?
Anyway,
this was before even that.
Yeah. So again, so the Mefarshim go over that, like they want to say that, like when he said Mekhwar, like that he felt like the Torah wasn't shining from him. But anyway, so he says, he's not done yet. So he says. So he, Lazar Shimon, is walking behind this fellow till he got to his city. So the people in the city went out to greet Reb Lazar Shimon. He's the God of the Torah. They said, welcome, Rebbe, Mori, or Rabbi, or teacher. Amarlehem, so the ugly person said, Lemiatem Korin Rebbe Rebbe. Who are you calling Rebbe Rebbe? Amrulo, the Zeshem Tehila Karek, the fellow who's walking behind you. Amarlahem, Imze Rebbe, Yerbu Kamotobi Israel. If this is the Rebbe, I hope they don't have more people like this than the Jewish people. Amrulo, Mipne Ma, he says, why? Amarlahem, Kachba Kachasali, he tells them the whole incident. Amrulo, Afal Piche Macholo, he says, you should forgive him. Shadam Gadol B'Torahu, he has a lot of Torah learning. Amarlahem, Mishvilchem Arini Mochelo, but he shouldn't be accustomed to do this. Now, it's interesting. Rabbi Leibowitz said, he doesn't say on the condition that he never does this again. He says that he shouldn't be ragil to do it. And so Leibowitz was saying that sometimes that type of conduct that is called for, I think he was quoting from the Maharsha, Yad Nichlas Reb Lazar Reb Shimon B'Darash Yilami Hedam Rach Kikana Vahi Kasha Ke'eretz, that a person should be rach, either humble or flexible like the reed, and not tough like the Erez, and not haughty like the Erez. Now, one way to understand it is that he's talking about himself, that he had been too haughty in the way he spoke to him. But another way to you know, understand it is he's saying that the fellow who wouldn't forgive him was either acting too haughty. In other words, that he's asking for mechila and he doesn't want to give him mechila. He says, "Ulefichach zachak kane l'tolim en akumos l'chovo sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah." Therefore, the reed is zocha to be the implement that's used to write a sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Just that last line about the reed. How did the reed come back into the story?
Yeah, so the reed was the starting point of the story, and then the end. Remember, we started off. We said. Remember, Achia Hashiloni used the reed in his nevuah. He says that Hashem is going to strike you like the reed with the water. And then the Gemara said that's really a bracha, that the Jews are like the reeds that bent down. And then we said that the reed also. It's the quill that you write a sefer Torah with, and then we quoted a memory from Chazal that a person, with one thing segues to the other, that a person should always, three lines from the bottom on Amud Aleph, a person should always rach kikana, a person should be flexible like the reed, and not kasha ke'eres. Not kasha means hard, but it means like arrogant, like the eres, like the cedar tree is arrogant.
Like Rabbi Lazar was. That's what
well,
they're
that's
saying
right.
Here.
Well, that's one way to understand it. But another way to understand it is that this fellow who didn't want to be mochalim was kashut could mean that, you know, he's tough or he's arrogant, that he didn't want to forgive him. That's another way to say it. Say again what? This, we did that already. We went through that before. Okay. We did the Rashi and mentioned the Tosfos also. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on now. Okay. So on the third. Okay. Everybody with me? Okay. Chaf Amud Bey is the third one. Shai, you still with me? Okay. So Chaf Amud Bey is the third white line. Okay. V'chein yir sheish b'dever oma polet v'chulei. We said another one of these like instantaneous calamities where you have to fast and an enu and the shofar blows in is an yir sheish b'dever. If a city has pestilence in it, we went through the Mishnah. You know, how many, like if it's a city that has like 500 infantry people it can produce, so it's three people dying, I think every day, 3 days, so then that's together, right? What Misha said, let me just check again. Misha said, right? So three people dying every day for 3 days, or if it's Mapolet, if the building suddenly collapsed, like buildings that are strong buildings, but they suddenly collapse. So from the Perush HaMishnah from the Rambam, it sounds like they collapse. We don't know why they collapse, but from the another pshat is that they collapse. Let's say from an earthquake or something like that. I think it's there might be the Tiferes Yisrael. I remember the Sifti Gemara they quoted that. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says V'chein Yishish B'Deber Mapolat Kulei. So Tana Rabbanan Mapolat Sha'amru. When they talk about a mapolat, when the buildings are collapsing. Riot over Uod. It means that the sturdy buildings are collapsing, not like the Shvach buildings are collapsing. And then Sha'in on Ruyotli pole, it means the ones that should normally fall down, below Haruyotli pole. So that's the Brysa. So the Gemara says, Haini Briot, Haini Ushin and Ruyotli pole. It sounds like the same thing. It sounds like a conundrum. It says, first it has to be Briot, they have to be sturdy buildings. Then it says, it has to be Einan Ru'uli Pol. It sounds like the same thing. It's not worthy that it should fall down. Heini Ru'ot. And then what are the Shvach buildings? Heini Ru'uli Pol. So the Gemara says, Lo, Tzricham, Denachlu Machman Govhayu. So it means like this. It could be, in other words, it could be a sturdy building, but the wall could still collapse because it's so tall. In other words, like, I don't know, like all the engineering aspects, but when it gets very tall, it could still, you know, collapse. Maybe it's not wide enough at the base, I don't know. Inami to Kaiman Aguda Dinara, or if it's standing on like near a body of water, like the riverbank, so it could be a strong wall, but the supports aren't so good.
Building in Florida with the erosion.
Right. Okay, just hold on 1 second. Let's go back to the mutings and then we'll come back, okay? Let's mute again. Okay. Now, so the Mishnah is saying that if the building, in order to have this instantaneous calamity that you have to have the fast, it has to be a strong wall, and the strong wall is not too tall. It's not on a, not on a, like a, you know, near a river bank, whatever. So there's no reason normally it should collapse. And now it collapses. So according to the Rambam, it collapses like no apparent reason. Or according, I think it was first Israel, it could be an earthquake or something like that. But normally, but it's a strong building. So then we have this fast. Now, Kiyahia Shita Ru'ua, like this, like Shvach wall, the Havai B'nei Hadar, that was the city of Nei Hadar, the Lava Chalik Rav Shmuel Tuta. Rav Shmuel wouldn't walk by this wall because they felt this as a sakana to walk near the wall. Afagav, the kind of Acha Tleser Shneem. Even though the wall had been standing for 13 years, they still avoided the wall. And it was, that's what the Chazal teaches. You shouldn't, you know, it's one of the things that causes the Kitrik and Shemayim. One day Rav Ada Bar Abba came to visit that location. So Shmuel said to Rav, let's go around the wall like we do every day. We avoid this wall. So Amar Le, Rav said, Shmuel, I don't need to now. We have Rav Ada Bar Abba with us. Rav Ada Bar Abba has a lot of squeeze, and I'm not afraid. Anyway, so Fern was saying before that with the Surfside, the building there in South Florida, and Rabbi, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned that as well. You know, like you have a building, and then the whole thing comes crashing down. Although in that case, it seemed like it, well, I guess everything's not in on the information about that calamity. Whether it was done to, you know, may not have been strong walls. I don't know what the things had to be reinforced, but I don't know if it's the ground there or the walls or what. They didn't have the final report hasn't been released yet. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything like this so far?
So it sounds like a foreseeability test.
With the walls, I mean, things like that. In other words, right. If it's something like, you know, like from the Beltarine and then strikes, so then we're gonna have the sudden fast. That's what's doing. Okay. Let me get some of my sheets out. 1 second. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, Rav Neu, Rav Huna, Havalehu Chamra, Bahu Beit Re'iyah. Rav Huna had wine in a certain house that was like not built so well. Who by the Panuya, he wanted to get the wine out of the house, but he's afraid that the whole house, Shai, are you still with me? Okay. He's afraid the whole house is going to collapse. So I lay the Rav Ada Bar Abba lahatam. So he brought Rav Ada Bar Abba, who is the fellow that had accompanied Rav and Shmuel before, near that other wall, and brings him to the house. Mashkei b'shmaite, he gets involved with him with learning. Adepanya, until he was able to clear out all the wine. In other words, so the way Rav Leibowitz is saying is like he's got the workers removing the wine, and he's you know schmoozing up a storm with Rav Ada Bar Abba. Batra Danafa. When Rav Ada Bar Abba left the house, Nafal Beta, the whole house collapsed. So argues Rav Ada Bar Abba. So Rav Ada Bar Abba got a sense of what had taken place. Not that the house collapsed, but he felt like he was being used like to prop up the house as a chuyot. Ikbin, he was upset at Rav Huna. Savar lo, he had him on Rav Yanai. He held like Rav Yanai. He says, Liolam al yamona dam lakom sakana. A person should never put himself in a sakana. He says, the Omar Osin Linais. The Shemayim, they're going to do a miracle for me. Shemayim Osin Linais. Maybe they're not going to do a Nais for him. Vim Tim Silomar Osin Linais. And even assuming, arguably, they do a Nais for him, the Nakhilom is Kliotav. They're going to make withdrawal from your merits. In other words, it doesn't come free. Like nothing in this world is for free. Amar Rav Chanan Maikra. Rav Chanan says, what's the Pasuk that supports that idea? Dechtiv Katonti Mikvol Chasidim Mikvol Haemet. So Yaakov Avinu, when he gets back to Eretz Yisrael, it means I've become diminished from all the chesed you've done to me. In other words, I had my bank account of zechuyot, and now because Rabbi Baruch Shalom had done me so much chesed for me, so my withdrawals, it's like the bank account is much more reduced. Katonti. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good with that? Okay. And again, the idea here is, you know, that even though there's always like Gzeirat Shemayim, which way the wind is going to blow, but if a person puts himself in a shat sakana, I put myself in a dangerous situation, then there's the kitrug and shemayim. In other words, my zikliyot can be strong enough, you know, to withstand normal situations. But when there's a sakana, so then I need even more zikliyot. And then there's a kitrug and shemayim. They start looking about what are my all my actions.
We had a gemara like this, no?
Yeah, well, which gemara did you have in mind?
We had a gemara like this with the base medish, with the baya, where they had all those shadim at night, and they wanted what's his name to come there. They said all the hotels were full.
Let's say a little bit more.
We had a gemara like this with a base medrash, when they came to a buyer where they had to shade them at night. They wanted somebody. They wanted I forgot who it was to come so that he wouldn't stay in a chasanya or somewhere. So we have to.
Anyway, I don't know if this is the gemara you're referring to. This is the gemara in Kiddushin around Chavtan Medeis where it says that. That I think that there was a dangerous place and they brought a bayi to it and there was a shade there and it seemed to buy like
the shade like, them did like, that, yeah. Yeah.
And that may have been the Gemara you're referring to, I'm not sure. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, my hobby of the Rabbana Barabba. What were like the masim? The Rabbana Barabba seems like a big, like almost like a Baal Mofet. In other words, like he does all these like miraculous things. So what are his actions that like the so he says, "Ma yahava obdi rabbana baraba, he had the itmar, shalu tamidav," and then in parentheses we have it, "Reb Zeirva amila the rabbana baraba, but meherachti yamin." In other words, the question: what actions have you lived so long? So Amar lahem, miyamaylo kara tiktok beiti. I never got angry in my house. He says, in other words, because I'll teach us, you know, a person should never be. A person should never instill like excessive ema in his house. It sounds like he didn't even do the lesser ema. He says, I never walk in front of somebody who's God only many. In other words, with the protocol, you're walking with the Rebbe, so even if you're the best Talmud, so you're to his right, but you're not in front of him, you're a little bit behind him. I was very nizhar never to walk in front of my Rebbe. Below your heart, keep him vodam to no vote. I never, you know, thought about Torah if it was a schmutzy place, even though he held like Rabbi Yochanan that you're allowed to think to bring Torah, you know. But he was more machmir himself not to do that. I never walked Dalit Amma without Torah and without Tefillin. I never slept in the base medrash, either a shen of keva or a shen of roi, like a permanent sleep or a light sleep. I never was happy with the downfall of my friend. Now, if you say the simple shot is that, you know, somebody else is going through a tzara, and you know, like I don't know, let's say I don't know, he's got a financial reverse. I never was happy, like you know, he was wealthy, now he had a financial reverse, like that, and the stock market crashed. But I heard a pshat, this is from Rav Sanna, I don't remember which sefer it was from. He said like this, like that sounds too pashut. Like what, like, you know, you're not happy, something's doubtful. That's obviously shouldn't be happy with that. He says, below Sasimtakhabiri, that I couldn't be happy at my own simcha when my friend had this takala. And it was my friend is undergoing a calamity. So I couldn't even be happy at my simcha, you know, when he had that. He says, below Karatin Makhabiri, Bahinato. I never call my friend by his nickname. And Rashi says it's like Lugnai, right? Where is Rashi? He says, Rashi's higher than we are. Shemachanim lo b'nei adam k'l shim rabbi, but then Tosfos says it. Tosfos says, he says, perish in the last Tosfos. B'kinu shemachanim to ben adam Lugnai. He says, in other words, like it's like a nickname, but it's like a disparaging nickname. Some say b'chanichato. So the way Tosfos says, it's like a way to refer to the family. I didn't refer to him by the family name. And Tosfos says, let's say like Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra, that everybody's called. So he says that that's all. Some, if it's the Gnai, I didn't refer to them. So yeah. So he's saying if the Kinui, which Kinui do you have in mind? Oh, correct. That is the Gnai. Yeah. But who? No? Well, there is right. Well, they say Rabbi Shuv and Korcha. So that they say is referred to. You're right. That part I don't know. But the idea is if it's a disparaging name, you should refer to it by that. All right. Let me just do a little story here with this. He says, Tosus says, however, the interdiction against using surnames only applies when the surname is degrading in some fashion. Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the Ben Ishchai, writes that Hachinato refers to nicknames related to a person's name. For example, someone named Yehuda may be called Aryeh based on the Pasuk, Gur Yehuda. Chanichato refers to a person's surname, and the warning is to avoid referring to a person by his surname. The reason a person is rewarded with long life, if he is careful to refer to others by their proper names rather than using a nickname, is that a person's life force, Piyut, is linked to the letters of his name. When someone refers to a person by his name, let's say his name is Yitzchak ben Abraham, they strengthen his life force. Therefore, the reward for strengthening another's life force that Hashem grants that person, it is strength to his life force, manifests itself in length of days. In other words, this is going a little bit of a different era. He wants to say, I don't refer to him by nickname, I refer to his proper name, like the way he's called the Sefer Torah. Like, sort of Michael, Michal Shimon, then, what was the father's name? Then Yaakov. So if I say Michal Shimon Yaakov, so that gives like, in some way, that gives life force to Michael. That's the way the Ben Ishchai says it. So since referring to by the proper names is a life force, him, I get the same brach as well. He says, based on this Gemara, the Pel Yoetz very strongly warned against the use of surnames when referring to rabbis. He writes that rather than referring to Rav Taro or Rav Alshech, they should be referred to as Rav Yosef Taro or Moshe Alshech. The author of the Sefer Yafel Lev disagrees and maintains that the warning applies only when referring to people by their surname by itself. Example, Karo. But if one adds an honorific title, such as Rav Karo, it is permitted. Okay, let me be back in the Gemara. Now, and again, I you know, it's wrong to refer to a rabbi just by the last name. I mean, I read it the way you had it here, but it's the, okay, let's be back in the Gemara. So, okay, now, we're 10 lines from the bottom. Amali Rava, the Rav from Bar Papa. Rava said to Rav from Bar Papa, Lemalan Mar, Mihani Malyasa to Abid, Abid Rav Huna. So we mentioned Rav Huna is the one who had lured Ravana Barava into the house to save the wine, right? That was with Rav Huna, right? So Rav Huna lured Rav Adabrava into the house so the house wouldn't collapse when he's removing the wine. But Rav Huna himself had a lot of zichuyo. So Rava said to Rav Bar Papa, could you repeat some things that Rav Huna did? So Amarle, so Rav Bar Papa said, I don't remember anything when he was younger. I do remember when he was older, i.e. Rav Huna. The Chol Yoma De'iva, it was a cloudy day. They would take him out like with this like, sort of golden type of chair. He says, V'sayulei L'kuli Mata. He would inspect the whole city, the whole Ashita to have it re-ata, if there was like a faulty wall, and it was like the storm is coming, and he sees a wall that looks like it's going to be problematic, have a Sakhar law, he would direct that it be taken down. E'efshar Lamara Bani law. So if the owner had enough means to rebuild it, the owner would do it. E'efshar Bani law you meet today. But if the person didn't have the wherewithal to rebuild the wall, he would rebuild it on his own. Every Friday afternoon, he would send a shliach to the market. All the vegetables that the vegetable sellers had left over that weren't purchased, he would purchase them, and then he would throw it in the river. Now, when he said, now the Gemara is going to explain is the reason he would purchase the vegetables is he didn't want the sellers not to get enough vegetables. In other words, he wanted the markets to be full of vegetables on Friday. So if the vegetables would go to waste, so the next week they're not going to bring so many vegetables. Maybe there won't be enough vegetables. So he would buy up the excess and would throw it in the river. So the Gemara asks, "Filei felanim, why didn't he give the excess to the poor people? Zim the san fadatayu luatu the mizban." He says they'll come to like rely on him, and then sometimes like there won't be the Bluatu the Mizban. One second. Yeah. Rashi says 15 lines to the bottom. Let's say we don't have to buy it. Maybe nothing will be left. Maybe nothing will be the Aniyim. In other words, the Aniyim will get used to like, oh, Rabbi, you know, the Rav Huna will give it to us. But what? Yeah, so he says, so they need to buy it. Okay, now, he says, why didn't he throw it? Why is he throw the river when he's the behema? Savar ma'achal adam ma'achal the behema. That if it's something that's fit for human use, your food, you don't give that to the animal. So this was Rav Leibowitz today. He gave a little mini chabura about this topic, about feeding animals food that, you know, that the human would eat. And there's different shitot. Some hold that it's prohibited, some hold it's permissible, and some hold, I don't know, like maybe whatever. And he had a lot of different variables, but you can listen to it on YU Torah. All right. Rashi says that, let's go look at the Rashi. Imachilu tal behema, Rishum bizui ochlin. It's like a disgrace for the food. He says, "Mexico boi betova shespiu tashbarach olam." It's like boi means like kicking, like you're rejecting the tova that tashbarach is giving to the world. Inami yishun dechad. So that's the first idea. In other words, Hashem Tashbarach Hu is placing in this world food that's fit for a human, and you're using it for the animal. It's like being kofer in the tova from a Hashem Tashbarach Hu. He says, "Inami yishun dechas Torah monash Yisrael." Or the Torah is concerned about Jewish money, that the Jews shouldn't throw out the money. He says, "Vizarak la nahar v'okhlima kumater v'sitam b'nedam v'okhlimatan kashmani." Which Rashi, or this Mefarish, says that they threw in the river and then other people would find it downstream and then they would eat it. Looking back in the Gemara, he says, 5 lines to the bottom, "V'lo lizbenei klal." So why do you have to bother buying it at all? So Nimsi Machil to the boat. He was afraid if he wouldn't buy it, they won't come up with the vegetables next week. Now, he habili milta da asuta. Again, we're talking about Rav Huna. When he had asuta, like a very healthful cure or something, havamali kuza de maya, or he says, havamali kuza mine. He filled like a jar with water, or he filled the jar with this medicine. But talile besifa de beta. He would hang it from the door frame of his house. Anybody who needs, let him come. In other words, he's got the medicine. They don't have it. Here it is. Everybody can come and get it. The Ikid Amri, others say, Milta the Shifta Habadamir. Now, Milta the Shifta, Rashi says, was the name of the shade. And this Shifta would harm people who didn't wash their hands until you die him. That's one shot. But if you look at Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbanu says 2 lines to the bottom in Rabbeinu Hananel, Milta Shifta Perish Mashka Shel Refua. It was a liquid refua. He says, back in the Gemara, Ravamana Kuza Demaya, Vidalile. He left like a jar of water and Vidalile, and he sounds like he hung it up. Ba'amar called the street of Lake Tabaleol, Delo Listaki. And anybody who needs it should come and take it, not put himself in a state of sakana. Now, here's a famous line that we know from the Seder. He have a karak rifta, when he would, like, karak rifta means like to wrap the bread. The bread was very soft, like falafel. Have a patat lubabe, he would open his door. But amar, koman de sarak leiti belayful. Anybody who needs, let him come and eat. It's like, kol de sriyat keite, halach ma'anya, kol de chvini yate b'yechul, kol de sriyat keite b'yechsah. So similar to his Rav Huna, he says, "I'm a Rava." So Rava says, "Kulu matzina mekayimi." Yeah, I could do all of these things that Rav Huna did. Labar meha, except the last one, "Kulu matzina me'abad." The last one, everybody come in the door and eat. I can't do it. On the top line of Chapal Menalef, "Lishum de napisha b'nei chela de mekuza," because there's so many aniyim in mekuza, I'll be eating at a house and home. So that one I can't do, but the other things I could do. Now, there's a very famous gemara in the next piece. I'll just do 2 or 3 minutes with this, and that'll be it. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan have Ugarsi Boraita. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were studying Torah. The Chichuluhu Milta Truva. They were in difficult financial straits. Amri, Nekum Venezil Venevit Iska. They said, you know, why don't we go out into the business world? He says, and then we'll fulfill with ourselves the pasuk that there won't be poor people. And we're busy, you know, studying Torah the whole day. We'll go out and make some money. Hazlu otri tuti guda re'iyah. So he sat down by this not steady wall. Habakkuk karki rifta. They were like eating, you know. Atu tre malachi asharei. Two malachim came. Shami Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Kalakabre. Rabbi Yochanan heard one malach say to the other one, Nishtei alayu hai guda v'nikalinu. Let's throw over this wall and kill both of them. Shemanichin chayi olam above, oskim chayi shah. They're leaving chayi olam, the perpetual reward, and they're going like for the money. He says, Amar le'ida shafinu. So the other malach said, leave him. One of them is going to be very successful. He's going to be a Rosh Yeshiva. He says, Rabbi Yochanan Shama, Rabbi Yochanan overheard this conversation. Ilfa lo Shama. Ilfa didn't hear the conversation. Amri Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa, Shama Mar Midi. Did the Jew hear anything? Amar le lo. Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Midi Shami Ana, since I heard it, the Ilfa lo Shama, Ilfa didn't hear it. Shmuel, Didi Kaimli Shaita, I must be the one that's fortuitous time. So Amali Rabbi Yochanan Yahad there, but Oki Ben Avshoi, Kilo Echol Yomi Kerva Aretz. Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, I'm going back. I'm going to fill a different pasuk that there'll always be poor people. Rabbi Yochanan Hadar, Rabbi Yochanan back. Ilfa Lo Hadar, Ada Ata Ilfa Malach Rabbi Yochanan. So by the time Ilfa came back, Rabbi Yochanan was Rosh Hashiva. Okay, got to break up at this point in time. Anyway, it's nice having everybody. Let me end the recording. I was saying.